Hello and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast Expand Your Business with Microsoft and Advantech IoT Solutions. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speakers, Patrick Ward from Microsoft and Che Xu from Advantech. Patrick is the Principal Solutions Specialist for IoT at Microsoft. Patrick helps Microsoft's customers and partners across Europe, Middle East, and Africa to leverage the power of IoT and advanced analytics to transform their businesses. Che Xu is a product sales manager with Advantech. Che has been working in Advantech IoT for over 9 years, managing IoT building blocks from wireless sensor networks to gateways to cloud platform as a service. Che is also responsible for Microsoft Embedded, Microsoft Azure, and Advantech Wise PaaS Marketplace. Today's schedule consists of about 50 minutes of presentation, leaving about 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, I want to run down some features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate today. You can simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the presentations. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A. And if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you can submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the eCast. This and all Open Systems Media eCasts are copyrighted and may not be used or recorded in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Patrick will be kicking things off today. Patrick, the floor is yours.
Great. Thank you very much, Kurt. So as Kurt said, I work with Microsoft. I've been with Microsoft about 6 years. I'm a part of the team that was the Windows Embedded team. As many people on the call will know, Windows Embedded has evolved to become Windows 10 IoT. And so my role is to work with Microsoft customers and partners across EMEA to have conversations around connecting embedded systems to the cloud and realize some of the benefits of IoT. And so over the course of the next hour or so, along with Che in Advantech, I'll be talking about some of the experiences that I've had in working with those customers and those partners in bringing IoT to reality. So I guess two main objectives. One is really to bring some of our insights, as I say, based on the market and the projects that we've been working on, but also then talk a little bit about Microsoft's and Advantech's IoT offerings. And so we'll kind of weave between those two objectives as we go through the course of the webinar. I wanted to start today by, I suppose, placing this in context very briefly, the context of digital transformation. PwC did a survey recently of CEOs, and 86% of those CEOs said that their number one priority was digital and how it's transforming organizations. There's a mixture of opportunity there, but also some fear in terms of how competitors may overtake their businesses. And so digital transformation is a really top priority for the C-suite of pretty much every organization these days. And when we talk about opportunity, this is some data from MIT Sloan that shows that the digital masters, those organizations that are embracing digital transformation and the technology behind it, are outperforming their peers in terms of revenue, in terms of profitability, and in terms of market value. If I talk about digital transformation from a Microsoft perspective, we typically talk about digital transformation in across four different areas: engaging your customers, transforming your products, empowering your employees, and optimizing your operations. If I take IoT then as an enabler of digital transformation, and we look at some of those perspectives, let's go in a little bit more detail and look at how IoT impacts those four pillars. So firstly, in terms of engaging your customers, things like product utilization insights, what we're seeing a lot of is organizations who sell hardware or equipment into their customer can now provide reports on exactly how that device got used, how that machine got used, and how the utilization of that machine compares to their peers in their own country or in their own region. So, for example, you've purchased some gym equipment. That gym equipment, you were at the lower quartile relative to your peers in terms of the utilization of that treadmill or whatever it is, relative to your peers in, let's say, the UK or in Europe or across the world. And here are some insights into why that is. IoT enables those kinds of insights so you can bring more rich content to your customers in terms of the utilization of the product. Reduced downtime is a very common area, and obviously that's a huge benefit to your customers. And what goes with that is an improved SLA. And so we're seeing things like predictive maintenance being enabled by IoT technologies, reducing downtime, and as a result, organizations being able to charge a higher margin for their product relative to their competitors because they are delivering an enhanced SLA. A great example of reduced downtime is ThyssenKrupp Elevator, an organization we've been working with over the last probably couple of years on their IoT enablement of their elevators. Their elevator downtime has now been reduced by 50% as a result of predictive maintenance enabled by IoT. The second area then is transforming your products. And of course, all of these things are interrelated, but here we're really talking about R&D insights, common failures, components that fail, feeding that back into our research and development, and as a result, enhancing product reliability and improving end product quality. We also see an opportunity here to understand what features of your product are getting used and what features are not getting used in terms of machinery in that, and therefore that can have a bearing on our R&D for that product. Empowering your employees then, typically here we're talking about taking the data that these things are generating and visualizing that data in a meaningful way within an organization. So getting insights into processes, into products through scenarios like remote monitoring. We'll talk about predictive maintenance and remote monitoring in more detail a little later. And then lastly, optimizing operations. In our experience in enterprise, about 6 out of every 10 IoT projects are being initiated by operations. And typically, the number one reason for that is the opportunity to reduce costs. One area that really reduced costs is improved service planning. So, for example, if I go back to the ThyssenKrupp elevator example, by understanding through predictive maintenance that a certain component will fail over the next 4 weeks with an 80% probability, we can go and service that, obviously, before a ThyssenKrupp elevator can go and service that before it breaks. But almost more importantly, they can schedule their maintenance staff in a much more planned way to go across lots of different customers, across lots of different regions in a way that's much lower cost because it's much less reactive and therefore much more planned. And that is a huge source of reduction of costs. Working with a company in shipping recently, they talked about their industrial PCs and screens and so forth being sent back in terms of warranty claims, and they were not sure whether the devices were being used the right way. IoT offers an opportunity to understand exactly how the device has been used and therefore to do things like the validation of claims. And lastly, then, asset tracking. Where are my containers? Where are my forklift trucks? Where are my transport trucks and so forth. Asset tracking and asset protection is a huge area for IoT. So just wanted to kind of set the scene in terms of digital transformation and then talk about IoT as a digital transformation enabler. Now, let's move on from here. If we talk now about the cloud and Azure in particular. The reason I'm on this call co-presenting with Advantech is that Advantech is a CSP, a cloud solution provider of Microsoft's. So CSP is a program that we've put in place to enable some of our key partners around the world to resell our cloud offering, just as they've been selling our licensing offerings for many years now. And that program is called CSP. So I'm now going to talk a little bit about Microsoft's cloud to set the scene and then kind of zone in more on how the parts of that offering that enable IoT scenarios. But it's worth keeping in mind that everything that you're about to see, you can interact with Advantech in terms of purchasing and getting support on these services. So as I said, Azure is the name of the Microsoft Cloud. We typically talk about it being global, and I'll touch on that now, about it being trusted and our focus on security and also our very strong hybrid support. And I'll touch on each of those elements over the next few slides. Here's a slide with a phenomenal amount of detail, and I certainly don't intend to go through this in huge detail, except to say and to kind of visualize when we're talking about services in Azure, these are the kinds of services that we're talking about. And typically we'll talk about Azure operating in an infrastructure as a service mode where you have storage and compute capability and networking capability, security management, those kinds of things. You have, let's say, a virtual machine or a container that you host your own applications on in your own data and you build from there. And when we talk about IaaS or infrastructure as a service, it's those services that are highlighted in yellow that we're talking about. Then there are a broad range of different services that we offer in a platform as a service type offering. And pretty much all the other services that you're seeing there under the heading platform services are that PaaS-based offering suite, if you like, platform as a service. The area that we will focus on today is now highlighted in red around data, around intelligence, around analytics, and around IoT. So I just want to paint that picture because we're going to go into particularly Azure IoT Suite, where we bundle together 8 of those services, and Cortana Intelligence Suite, where we bundle together more services. It's those services that we're going to focus on during the course of the remainder of the call. Okay, so we'll get to that shortly. Before we get there, I wanted to visualize geographically what the cloud looks like for Microsoft. So when we talk about Azure, we're talking about 34 regions that are currently live around the world and 6 further regions that have been announced, the two most recent of which are in South Africa. That's important for our customers for a number of different reasons. Firstly, you get a consistent experience, whether you're using, let's say, the IoT hub service in the Americas or in Europe or in Asia, you're going to get a consistent experience from those services globally. Secondly, by having a lot of regions, and this we have 2 times the number of regions of our nearest competitor, by having those services close to where you're using them reduces things like latency. It's also particularly important for our customers who want to know where exactly is my data going to be stored. The whole area of data sovereignty is hugely important. On what soil is my data going to be stored? What laws and what regulations apply to that data depending on where I'm storing it, and GDPR and lots of different standards and protocols and that obviously impact that. The customer ultimately chooses what region that they store their data in. And the last point that I make here is that we are the only hyperscale cloud provider that has a significant presence in China. We have a full data center in China. And I'm finding a lot of different customers are saying, oh, that's of interest to us because we are either in China or are looking to expand there. Now, if we then talk about security for a moment, again, a lot of detail on this slide, but it talks about a lot of the regional and international security standards to which we and Microsoft adhere for Azure, for the management of our data centers. Probably the most important of which, the most comprehensive of which, is in the top left-hand corner, and it's ISO 27001. That is an incredibly high standard. And I guess when I'm talking to customers, a common response that I get is, well, I'm willing to put this data into the Azure cloud, but this data over here is extremely sensitive, and therefore there's no way I want to keep that on-premise, I want to keep that in our own data centers. I'll usually respond by saying, well, is fair enough, but is your data center compliant to ISO 27001? And usually the answer is no, because it is an extraordinarily high bar. And so I suppose the point of this slide is to say, we have an absolutely relentless security commitment. We have huge teams of people worldwide whose only role is to make sure that we're adhering to these standards and that we're constantly, constantly, constantly focused on evolving security. It couldn't be more important. Now, many people on the call will be familiar with some of these impacts, but just to summarize then, when we're talking about moving data to the cloud, when we're talking about moving from on-premise and into the cloud, we're typically looking at the following kinds of benefits. You can scale your business to meet peak demand and then scale it back down again. There is pretty much unlimited compute and storage capability available to you in the cloud. There's an opportunity to reduce costs because you only pay for what you use. So you don't need to invest massive amounts of capital to deal with that peak level of demand. You just scale up and scale down to meet your peak. Maybe you're a retailer and for whom the peak is Christmas timeframe, whatever it is, you can scale right up to that peak and then scale back down again. You get a global consistent experience of all the services, which I mentioned already. We move more from a capital expenditure model, where we invest in hardware that depreciates rapidly on premises, to an OPEX model, where we're paying on a monthly basis only for the services that get used. And so typically when we're having conversations, we'll often have a conversation with the CFO to make them aware of those of that impact. It's usually of a lot of interest. You get access to hypercompute capability, advanced analytics, AI, machine learning, and so forth on tap. Again, that requires an enormous investment if you're doing that on-premise. The cloud provides that to you whenever you need it. It's faster in terms of time to market because I can spin up a development environment in minutes as opposed to waiting for the hardware to arrive and establishing my environment. Higher security and compliance benefits because of the slide I presented earlier on and our relentless focus on that. And lastly, you know, customers who are using IoT Hub or Stream Analytics or some of those services that are relevant to IoT continue to benefit as we invest in R&D for those services. So as we develop them, our customers get the latest innovation as a result without having to have a huge team developing that in-house and then keep up on the latest trends. We'll do that for you. So that's just a little introduction to Azure. And as I said, Advantech are a CSP, and therefore you can purchase both IaaS and PaaS-based services on Azure through Advantech if you have a relationship with them. We'll talk about some of the more benefits of doing that because they also bring the hardware, they also bring the licensing, and we'll discuss that as we go through a little later. Now, with all of that context set, we've talked about digital transformation, we've talked about cloud benefits, we've talked about Microsoft Azure. Now let's get into the specifics of IoT. And it's probably worth starting with a definition of, well, what is IoT? We typically look in Microsoft at IoT from four perspectives. Firstly, the things in my organization, the things that are generating data, the endpoints. Secondly, the control of those things, two-way communication, so that I can ingest information, I can ingest data from the things in my organization, but also I can control those things. For example, if they are running an operating system, I can update that operating system. I can keep a patch current. You cannot secure what you cannot update. And so the ability to update my endpoint devices is a huge benefit of the service called IoT Hub. And that's a big part of that control aspect. It's also about knowing the latest state of the endpoint, what its configuration is, what operating system it's running, and so forth. All of that gets monitored through that two-way communication in IoT Hub. So control is a very significant part of the story. Next is insights, and that's really about taking the data, doing a level of analytics on it, presenting that data in a very meaningful way to end users running their business, be it in a manufacturing line or anywhere else. And we have a range of different services to help with that, to generate those insights and present them. But, you know, none of this is of any use if we're not taking action based on the insights that we're getting. And so action is really about integrating my IoT solution into my back-end systems, my CRM, my ERP, my bespoke line of business applications that I have and systems that I have running in my organization today. So, for example, we might integrate it into a CRM so that when a particular motor goes down, we raise a service ticket in our CRM. That's an example, and we'll talk about that in a bit more detail now shortly. So taking all of those perspectives, things, controls, insights, and action, and then mapping them to Microsoft's portfolio for IoT, if you like, it is a truly end-to-end portfolio. Windows 10 IoT, as I mentioned at the outset, is the product that Windows Embedded has evolved to. And so Windows 10 IoT comes with it, 20-plus years heritage of managing embedded systems. So it's a very important part of the story. Azure IoT Suite, as I said, is effectively a bundle or a suite of certain services that do things like connecting to endpoint devices, ingest data, analyze that data, integrate into the back end, and present and visualize data. That's what Azure IoT Suite does, and we'll talk about that in more detail shortly. Cortana Intelligence Suite then gets more into the area of machine learning, artificial intelligence, our bots framework for human-like interaction, and we'll show some of the services that are relevant there. And lastly then, Microsoft Dynamics 365 is that kind of back-end view. Dynamics 365 has both CRM and ERP capability. We won't talk about that in any detail today, but just to say that is a common ERP and CRM solution that we see a lot of customers using. Now, I said at the bottom here, all open, extensible, scalable, and secure. And one of the really key points there is open. So if I am using Azure IoT Suite, many of the customers that I'm talking about are using Linux-based endpoint devices or Android handsets, or some of them are using microcontrollers that have no operating system on them. That's fine. You don't need to have a Windows-based endpoint device to talk to Azure IoT Suite. There are certain protocols that I'll mention shortly that I can communicate into IoT Hub, which is one of the services in Azure IoT Suite. And so all of this is completely open. Similarly, at the back end, it may be Microsoft Dynamics 365, but it could easily be SAP or Oracle, or it could be some in-house developed system that we've created to run our manufacturing line or whatever it is. We offer lots of different APIs to help integrate from Azure IoT Suite into the back end. None of these things has to tie together and be an end-to-end Microsoft product set by any means. And that's what we mean by open. When we talk about IoT projects, I want to just show you some of the types of projects that we're working on now. And I attended an event with IDC recently, and they split IoT projects into three levels. And I thought it was a good way of explaining it. Remote monitoring, down in the lower left-hand side, where we are connecting devices at scale, ingesting data, a lot of data, analyzing that, presenting it, showing things like dashboards to show alerts and graphs and indicators and that kind of thing. That's very often where an organization will start their IoT journey, down in that lower left-hand side. As we move then into business workflow, we're now talking about integrating our IoT system into our back-end systems. So we send an SMS message maybe to an engineer to let them know that a particular event has occurred. And then up in the top right-hand side, we get in more into the area of machine learning, advanced analytics, artificial intelligence, and so forth. As you go up that curve, you're looking at a higher investment. But our consistent experience is that very, very significant value is unlocked up at the top right-hand side, because we are doing things like reducing costs very significantly. ThyssenKrupp would say they've reduced their maintenance costs by between 50 and 60%. We're enhancing the SLA and then offering an opportunity to increase margin that's being charged for these services. It's very rare in business you get an opportunity to both reduce costs in a very material way and increase your margin. But it's up at the top right-hand side that offers the opportunity for businesses to do that. It takes a greater investment, but the ROI is very, very strong up at the top right-hand side. Now, the last thing I'll say on this slide is very often an organization will start on the lower left-hand side because they say, well, time to value is important for us. We don't want to, you know, invest in infrastructure in an IoT scenario that begins to gather data now that we're going to use for predictive maintenance type analysis over the course of kind of 6, 12, 18 months. We need to get to value quicker. And so very often they'll connect devices and put in remote monitoring first of all, and then as they aggregate the data and have an opportunity to analyze that data, they move up the levels into advanced analytics. Other organizations, it's quite common that we arrive, we have conversation, they say, well, actually, we have a huge body of data already waiting to go, and we can do analysis of that now, historical timestamped data, and therefore we're able to get into predictive maintenance scenario quite quickly. So we can approach this from both ends of the graph, if you like. If I talk about the IoT ecosystem and then hand over to Che to talk about Avnet's story, but I thought this would be a good way of kind of breaking down and also painting the picture of where Advantech operate relative to the other parts of the ecosystem. There's five different areas here, and if I step through them one at a time, one is device and an operating system, and so this is kind of core business for Advantech going back some time. We may put a field gateway between the device and the cloud, or we may not. We don't have to do that. It'll depend really on various different circumstances. But device and OS is clearly a very significant part of the IoT ecosystem. Secondly, then, is that CSP that I mentioned earlier on, cloud solution provider, and Advantech are a cloud solution provider for Microsoft, as I mentioned. Therefore, selling both infrastructure as a service services and platform as a service services that you see highlighted here. Typical other areas then are ISV, independent software vendor. So these are the vendors of software that sit on top of these services that maybe are you know, create some sort of an application on a handset or on a tablet or on a computer screen that help us manage our overall operation. And then the systems integration piece that takes an end-to-end view of this and integrates it. Some of that can be done in-house. Sometimes we send that out to a partner. It'll depend on the capability of an organization. And lastly, from the point of view of these slides, is specialist activity like data science and advanced analytics. Here I've highlighted Azure Machine Learning as a service. Now we're getting into that capability where we use languages like Python and R to get data scientists to effectively code in these languages to examine our huge bodies of data to look for correlation between different variables within that data. So that's it from point of view of IoT ecosystem, and then where Advantech sit. And now is probably a good time for me to hand over to yourself, Jay, to talk more about Advantech's IoT story.
Yes, thank you very much, Patrick. This is Jay speaking. So I'm Product Sales Manager of Advantech Europe. And to follow Patrick's great introduction, for the audience that's not so familiar with Advantech story yet, let me first paint a picture. Advantech is primarily a hardware manufacturer in industrial and embedded market. We have been in this market for more than 30 years. And basically anything that's compute in these markets, from sensor, wireless sensor networks, to a gateway up to the servers, physical servers. Basically, Advantech probably has a hardware solution that fit different stages of the market. So to follow the previous story of Microsoft, where does it tie in with Advantech story? If we look at Advantech's IoT solution architecture, it's a busy slide, but actually it's quite easy to break down. At the bottom end, we have IoT sensing devices, where we have solutions for wireless connectivity or wired connectivity. So with before we go to the cloud, the first thing you need to do is make the data available. And how do we do that? And also for a lot of people in the audience, maybe if you're your domain focuses on processing the data, which is made available, the first thing you need to do is make it available. And we, as Advantech, we can help you with that. So we have a range of products that can make the connection with legacy system, with existing systems. When we talk about IoT installments, IoT investments, many of the times we need to connect to existing infrastructure that has probably legacy interfaces, legacy protocols. So you need a kind of a bridge solution to make that data available. The second layer, the layer on top of that, is our gateway solution. So there are many different configurations due to the different needs in the different market segments and different type of applications. Different interfaces, different CPU power. Essentially, the field gateway has a couple of purposes, right? One is to connect the edge, so connecting all the endpoints, aggregate the data locally, and maybe process some local intelligence before sending relevant information to the cloud. The layer on top is an area where Advantech sees a lot of growth opportunities in IoT space, because this is what we call solution-ready platforms. It's basically where we own all the APIs that comes from our hardware platform, where it makes sense for our customers and our system integrators is by packing the right APIs on specific hardware for specific vertical markets, you can really launch an IoT solution with a very fast time to market. That's the main goal of these solution-ready packages. So our Advantech hardware, the portfolio is really big. So what we see here is really focusing on the IoT space. We realize that a lot of customers, they are looking into this IoT space, and we're also seeing a lot of inquiries for proof of concepts. So to start with the wireless sensor network portfolio, this is actually an open platform which Advantech launched beginning of last year. During Embedded World, we have launched the M2.com platform. M2.com is an open standard where our vision is basically with this platform, where we want to focus on as a solution provider, hardware solution provider, is to have a standardized wireless communication module following the M.2 form factor, but it's more than just M.2. Basically, it's a microcontroller where you have bidirectional communication, so it's not just getting the sensor data from one endpoint and sending that to a gateway or to the cloud, but it also enables you to send an action back, so it's bidirectional. why we say it's an open platform, eventually our goal is not to manufacture all the different vertical specific sensors. I think there are many players out there that can do a wonderful job there. But where we can help to speed the time to market is to focus and to offer a standard platform for the wireless communication part. What is the benefit for a customer, for a sensor manufacturer, for the end customer? Is basically with one type of sensor, depending on the application, you can cherry pick whatever wireless communication makes sense, depending on region or depending on application. Do you need something very long range? Do you need something low power? Are you installing your solution in the Benelux or in Switzerland? So all these factors can decide, can dictate what kind of wireless technology makes sense. For example, in Benelux, I think LoRa is for long range is it could be a good choice because the LoRa networks has been deployed. Well, for this, with the same sensor, if you go to Switzerland, for example, there you have a better Sigfox coverage, then maybe it would make sense to change the module there and go for Sigfox. So we have also a starter kit based on this technology. The basic starter kit is Wi-Fi technology. The idea is to have also starter kits supporting different wireless protocols. And in this starter kit, basically what you get is a sensing board, the wireless technology part, and also pre-configuration to the Azure cloud. So this is the bottom layer, what we consider the bottom layer, the endpoint. So if you go one step up to the gateway side, as I mentioned, we have many different configuration that will fit different markets and different application scenarios. So what we have seen is that with the gateway solution, we call it Edge Intelligent Server because it's at the edge and at the end, it's what you install is local intelligence before sending anything to the cloud. It's basically a piece of hardware, an embedded box PC, fanless, ruggedized, supporting white temperature. We support both Windows Embedded Standard 7 as well as Windows 10. I think Windows 10 is a very good solution, but what we see in embedded market and industrial market is also the porting to Windows 10 might not be as fast as we would like to see. So we also support legacy OS here. What's in this package is besides this gateway solution, we also have a wireless access point. With digital and analog I/O. What's the purpose of this kind of module? As I mentioned, if you look at IoT solutions, you need to connect a legacy existing infrastructure. And with this kind of access point, with digital and analog I/O, you can basically connect your endpoints. So it can be sensors that give some input to your data input to the cloud. And you can also connect to peripherals that can be the output. So in this setup, you can easily connect the sensor to the cloud because Azure is also pre-configured in this package. And in this package, you also get 1 month free Azure service virtual machine. So on one hand, you have the thermal sensor, CO2 sensor, and so forth to bring some data connected to the access point, which communicates wirelessly to the gateway solution, and the gateway will communicate in MQTT to backend Microsoft Azure. And then in the cloud, you can design your application to do a reaction based on the information that comes in back to a fan and an LED. So everything is in one package. It also comes with an instruction manual. So it's an easy way to build your proof of concept. And the nice thing about this starter kit, I think, is the wireless access point because it's digital analog I/O. If the sensors or the fan and LED doesn't make sense for your application or your proof of concept, you're basically free to change the I/O points. So to tie back to the Microsoft story, so Advantech, being the IPC manufacturer, the largest in the world, we are a Microsoft partner for over a decade. The first part, I would say, the main focus has been on Microsoft Embedded OS. And with Microsoft Azure CSP, we are offering also the cloud services. So how do we co-work as well with Microsoft? We have our WisePass marketplace. So after the POC, if you would like to extend the cloud services or, for example, services for security purpose like McAfee or Acronis, we also have a joint marketplace where we co-work with Microsoft. So on this marketplace, it's very easy to extend the cloud service using few clicks of a button. So this is, in short, the Advantech IoT story that ties back into the Microsoft IoT story. And with that, I would like to give the floor back to Patrick.
Great. Thanks, Jay. Great overview. And a really important part of this is you know, the edge part of the IoT end-to-end solution. There are many different factors that are at play here in terms of, well, how do I decide whether I'm going to do my computer at the edge or if I'm going to do it in the cloud? One of the areas that I won't go through today, but it's for those of you interested, you can have a look, do a web search on IoT Edge, which is a recent announcement we made, which moves a lot of the services that I've been talking about from the Azure Cloud into devices like we've just seen there. So edge-based computing is obviously an extremely important part of the IoT story. Now, if I'll just delve over the next few minutes into Microsoft's IoT story a little bit further. Here's a slide that you've already seen earlier in the webinar. I'm going to focus now on Azure IoT Suite and Cortana Intelligence Suite and just talk a little bit about the services within. If we take Azure IoT Suite first of all, there are a number of different, as I say, there's eight different services that are effectively bundled together in Azure IoT Suite. IoT Hub, we've talked a little bit about already in terms of two-way connectivity, connecting to devices, controlling those devices, and ingesting data at scale. And so we can connect to millions of devices at one time. We can take in phenomenal amounts of data through IoT Hub. Stream Analytics, then, is the service that sits behind that. It effectively is a conveyor belt that looks for patterns in that data that it's been told to look for. Once it spots a particular pattern, it raises an event. That event then gets distributed through Event Hub to various different locations. The data itself typically is stored in storage blobs. On DocumentDB then is used to store things like sensor data and last known state of sensors and so forth. However, there is a blurring of the lines there. We see different storage options being used in different ways these days, and there are a range of other storage options obviously that are not shown here. We out of the box provide capability to view data using pre-configured solutions, so we have out of the box effectively dashboards, and I'll show you an example of a couple of those in a moment, that visualize the data in terms of geographic locations on a map, or maybe it's a graph or traffic light indicators and so forth. And then lastly, over in the right-hand side, you see Logic Apps. Logic Apps is a service that is effectively a business workflow engine that allows us, using a broad range of APIs, to integrate into back-end systems like CRM, ERP, and as I said, that supports a broad range of different third-party applications like SAP, Oracle, and so forth, and also provides REST APIs and other mechanisms to integrate into line-of-business solutions that have been developed in-house. And so we can integrate our IoT system into our existing systems to help manage the business. That's a quick overview of Azure IoT Suite. It breaks down into device connectivity and management, analytics and insights, and the presentation of those insights, and then business connectivity at the back end. Here are some typical project phases and timelines that we have seen, and kind of ranges of timelines. I suppose the point I wanted to make here was that our strategy in Microsoft is effectively to accelerate time to value. And we do that using pre-configured solutions that are out of the box and allow you to get going quickly in a matter of minutes or hours. I'll show you a slide here that shows that in more detail. We've pre-configured solutions for remote monitoring, for predictive maintenance, and recently we launched a new one that's in preview called Connected Factory. And so on the left-hand side is the out-of-the-box kind of experience. As you see, there's graphs there, there's indicators, there's geographical information. And to get to the right-hand side then, typically you would do software development in-house to modify that in any way you wish to get to something that looks more like your own internal brand and develops capability in whichever way you need to create a kind of interactive app or web page to control your particular system or whatever it is. So there is software development in going from the left-hand screen to the right-hand screen, if you like. We have recently announced IoT Central, which will allow non-software development, so it'll be a SaaS-based application that'll allow configuration to get from A to B, if you like. That's coming soon. Lots more information on the internet available around IoT Central if that's of interest. This is just to show an example of this in use. This is Croke Park, fourth largest stadium in Europe. We've IoT enabled this in partnership with Intel and Dublin City University, along with Croke Park. And we're monitoring the sound. And so it's maybe a little hard to see on this side of the screen, but if you see that kind of aerial view of the stadium, there are four different microphones monitoring sound. We first trialed this at the Bruce Springsteen concert last May. And that green line that you're seeing there is the profile of the Bruce Springsteen concert sound, so that we can monitor sound and ensure that it falls within limits agreed with the City of Dublin. But the point is that dashboard on the lower right-hand side was configured once we had the microphones and gateways in place. That view, that dashboard was configured in a matter of hours. So kind of key benefits of Azure IoT Suite, secure, we've talked about end-to-end, get going fast using these pre-configured solutions. It's an open system, it'll connect to anything. It doesn't have to be Windows-based device, it can be a broad range of different operating systems or none. And lastly, then scalable, I can scale this system up and down as I require. Lastly then, Cortana Intelligence Suite, broad range of different services, things like cognitive services that allow me to do things like interrogation and analysis of photography or of video streams, things like text to voice, voice to text, real-time translation and so forth. All of these services can now be built into my app, to my web page, using APIs into these services. Bot framework then on the right-hand side also allows me, for example, to take my FAQ and create a chat-based bot interaction really easily. And there's a broad range of different other bot framework services available. So whether it's web, mobile, or a bot-based app, there's a broad range of different things. I won't go into this in much detail, but in terms of the analysis and visualization of data, Cortana Intelligence Suite has a very, very broad range of services along with Azure Machine Learning, which allows and enables scenarios like predictive maintenance that I talked about earlier on. So that's the end-to-end portfolio. If I do a quick recap then, and then we'll hand it over to Q&A, I guess we've talked about organizations embracing digital transformation are outperforming their peers. IoT is an enabler of that digital transformation. Advantech has a huge story in terms of the hardware, of the licensing, of the cloud capability. So it's an end-to-end offering, if you like, to help industry connect their OT systems, their operational technology systems, get access to data and visualize it and analyze it, and so forth. Microsoft offers an end-to-end offering from device to cloud, and Advantech are a partner in that. Azure IoT Suite, we've talked about some of the benefits around openness, fast time to value and security. Cortana Intelligence Suite then, machine learning, advanced analytics capability available on tap. And lastly then, Advantech as a cloud solution provider covers hardware through software licensing through cloud services. So I think we'll leave it at that point and hand back over to our moderator, Kurt, and go to Q&A.
Great. Thanks a bunch. That's a lot of great information. We are now to the Q&A. Want to remind the audience you can submit questions at any time. We want to encourage you to do so, so you can take advantage of the expertise we have here today. Let's start with Che. So there's a question regarding the M2.com sensor node starter kit. Do they need to make the contract with the service provider if they want to use 3G or LTE? So I guess if you're developing your IoT solution and you have to connect it using 3G or LTE, how does the service contract work?
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically something that you as a user or customer still need to take care of. So besides the M2.com platform, we also have 3G, 4G capability, for example, in our box PCs and our embedded motherboards. But at the end, you would need to have a service contract through a SIM card, for example, a local SIM card, to enable it and also to have a service contract. We do have partnerships, for example, with global SIM providers, for example, Arkessa here in Europe, which can also solve a bit the roaming issue. So if your solution is related to a mobile solution, then it could make sense to look into global SIMs.
Okay, great. Patrick, I want to ask you this question and have Che chime in. I think you kind of answered this. Is there such a thing as a Hello World end-to-end IoT Azure system? So if they have an embedded board, they have their networked embedded application, they want to IoT enable it, how do they hook into libraries and use Windows 10 IoT and maybe hook into a Azure cloud application so they can start kind of ramping up?
Yeah, I think that's really the pre-configured solution is the solution there. What you're probably starting with is a remote monitoring type scenario, and therefore there's a pre-configured solution for remote monitoring that enables you to connect your devices through to the cloud, get the data through, and begin to visualize that really quickly. So I think that's probably the best way to get going. If you don't have some of the hardware and you want to get going at that, some of the starter kit capability that Che showed is a great way of getting going. But then once you do have that, it's really the pre-configured solutions that enable you to get going. You can then modify that and develop it further for more sophisticated needs. But it's a great way of connecting quickly, visualizing the data really quickly.
I see. So to that end, Che, the starter kit, if they have a legacy application written in C or whatever, can they just port that over using the starter kit?
With our starter kit, you can, well, if we go back to the gateway offering, as I mentioned, we have many different versions. At one end, you have the performance point of view, cost point of view. The other one is, of course, the vertical market. So if it's in industry, probably you're dealing with different interfaces, different protocols. I would say first we need to look at what's the application environment and what kind of protocols and interfaces we have to deal with select the right gateway solution. If we take the starter kit as an example, it's an embedded box PC with some standard IOs. We also have a middle layer solution that we offer in this solution, which can connect to different protocols, for example, Modbus TCP, which is also quite often seen in Industry 4.0, of course. So depending on what kind of protocols and interfaces we deal with, I would say first select the right gateway solution, and then on software side, either if we look at the IoT Hub's stack, it probably already supports many different protocols, and otherwise there's also tools to create handlers for new protocols. And what I also see in Advantech story as well as in the Microsoft story, which isn't covered in this webinar, is the collaboration and also the move forward and the push for a unified protocol. And OPC UA is a good example. Patrick, I think you can comment on this as well, but I see that, for example, in Industry 4.0, this is being pushed quite hard, and Advantech hardware platform is supporting that, and as I know, Microsoft is also heavily supporting the OPC UA foundation.
Yeah, that's right, Jay, and I mentioned that we have three pre-configured solutions. The one we announced recently in some preview is Connected Factory, and that's absolutely OPC UA compliant, and we are a very active member of that standard. And then just on IoT Hub protocols, the three that we support are HTTPS, MQTT, and AMQP. It needs to be a TLS encrypted line, and so you need the TLS stack at least a version 1.0, ideally 1.1 and above. So just to cover that point up as well.
Okay, great. In terms of, there was a question just about how Microsoft IoT Central and the solutions from Advantech are related.
Well, IoT Central is a very recent announcement. It's not yet in preview. It will be shortly. And what it will allow is I suppose, a fully encapsulated SaaS-based solution to enable organizations to pull together an IoT solution, if you like, using more business configuration rather than software development. And so I don't have anything further to share in terms of the specifics around exactly how that will interact with, let's say, a particular starter kit, except to say I would expect that all of the capability in the starter kit will continue to function with the likes of IoT Central, but I don't have any more specifics on that.
Okay, great. Che, in terms of solutions that connect legacy machines and machines with PLC-protected passwords, that's kind of a specific question. Maybe you can generalize it and say, are there libraries available to do traditional interconnect of legacy things like SNMP network management or what have you?
Yeah. So in Advantech, we have different sectors. One of the bigger sectors is focusing on industrial automation. In industrial automation product portfolio, we have gateway solutions that supports drivers and APIs from, I believe, more than 300 different PLCs. So that would be an easy way to connect to PLCs from different vendors. I would say it's if we look at the type of PLCs that we have the drivers for and to which we can connect to, it would be the if we look at Europe alone, it would be the top vendors that we see here. So it's on hardware side, we can make that connection quite easily.
Okay, great. Thanks. Unfortunately, we have run out of time today. I want to thank Patrick and Che for sharing their insights on expanding your business with Microsoft and Advantech IoT solutions. We at Open Systems Media, Microsoft, and Advantech want to thank you, the audience, for attending today and contributing excellent questions. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast version will also be made available there. This and all Open Systems Media eCasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Thank you for attending, and have a great day.